Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris. Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
All right, so there's this video.
It's hilarious.
National places, I think.
They blew it up.
So when people say it's some indication of what's happening to you at camp, what do you, I mean, what do you say about that?
I just laugh at it. I look at them and I laugh at them, as always.
That's Caleb Williams talking about the viral video, the net drill, which isn't a game. It's not a practice. It's just a drill. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. Happy to be joined by Fox NFL reporter Carmen Vitale in studio. We're happy to see you.
I'm happy to be here.
Weren't you there for the net drill?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like nobody even, like, whatever. I did not make anything of it.
No. And, like, Caleb being annoyed with it, like, yeah, all right, because he didn't hit where he wanted to. But that's a very common drill. Every team that I've ever been around has done it. That or the trash can game.
Right.
Where they put a trash can like in the corner of the end zone and you have to fade it in there, whichever quarterback can, you know, get it in there the most gets whatever. They place like little minuscule bets or whatever.
Or more than minuscule, depending on the quarterback.
I know. I wasn't trying to get anybody in trouble.
Okay, my bad.
But no, I mean, and so I don't know. Who knows? Maybe during that drill they had like a friendly bet. Who knows?
Well, and I think that's the point. I likened it to, am I concerned if a guy is missing threes in pregame warm-ups before the game? No. I'm only concerned when they look hurt.
And that's a drill where they don't even, like, grab the laces or anything. They're just literally, it's rapid fire.
Right.
It's as it comes. And that's why I was like, why are...
It's like Papa Shot. It's
as it kind of got
shot.
More and more attention on social media, it's like, are we really doing this right now?
I think a lot of it had to do with his reaction to it. But, like, I don't know. Like, it's hot outside. You don't want to be there. Like, it's just, it's tough stuff. Like, I don't know. I just thought that was him being annoyed, and he's allowed to be annoyed.
That is the truth. He is allowed to be annoyed, especially when he's had the season he had last year. He's absolutely allowed to be frustrated. And we are, too. You know, that's the other part of this. I try to not do this. People are going to be mad at us no matter what.
Yeah, that's fair.
They're not listening half the time, and they make it up anyway. A lot of the people who are always going to be mad. So I don't put a ton of stock into it, but it is part of our job also to know what fans are talking about, to know, you know, what people have questions about. That is very much a piece of this. And you know that being a reporter, Marshall, too. So Mark Grody, when Caleb Williams was on with us last Friday, asked him, because Mark is on the Bears beat, as you know, about whether or not the coverage of him and the discussion surrounding him had been fair.
Fair isn't my job to judge. I wouldn't say that there's always truth to reports that come out, typically, to be honest with you, that come out. We're in practice, we're in training camp. We didn't maybe score as many points or anything like that last year, or win as many games, but some of these reports that come out, yes, they are a little false, especially after a year that I had last year. It's all right. It's everybody's job, and everybody has a job to do. And my job is to go win games. Your job may to be, report and critic, good, bad, or indifferent. And, there's no judge for either side.
I love that answer. Honestly, I think it was straight to the point. Like, it's not his job to be out here worried about who's being critical of him. His job is to go win football games.
I think the issue is if it's your family having an author of a book in your space and you say that's not true, that's a separate discussion.
I didn't take him saying that as the book wasn't true. I took it as some reports about him over the course of his career are not true.
Yeah, like over the course of the season. That's how I took it as well. And he's not a stranger to this limelight. Like, he played in the second largest market in the country in college during the NIL era, where players are treated like professionals in college more than they ever have before. And he got really used to the bright lights of LA. So coming to Chicago, I mean, there's probably more eyeballs on him here I know there's more eyeballs on him
because LA is LA.
Because LA is LA. That's not a great sports town. Sorry, guys.
They didn't have an NFL team for many years.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, now we forget have two, about
and
that.
Is there a professional football team in LA?
I always say it was USC. Yeah.
Well, now they have two and they still don't remember that they have a professional football team. Anyway,
but that's,
I lived there for
point.
Two and a half years, guys. I can say this. No, I just think that he is very well media trained. And he is like we talked to him after some of those really tough losses last year, and he handled himself beautifully. And he's never said anything into a microphone that has been like really controversial or whatever. He's very methodical with the way that he speaks to the media. And it's that comes from years of practice because this isn't new to him. And I do think that he really does understand, you know, this is other people's jobs. The media are full of people that are just doing their jobs. Are you going to get it wrong sometimes? Yeah. Is he going to throw a bad pass sometimes? Yeah. Like, it's the same thing. It's everybody isn't going to have 100% hit rate in their job. And him being understanding and having that answer, I think, was great.
I do, too. And I think the other piece of this is I was going to finish my thought by just saying, you know, it's one thing if it's a book and that's invited into your home.
For sure.
And that was an agreed upon partnership. Mm-hmm. But I also wanted to say that, you know, if I think it's unfair if it's like a net drill and we know you threw for 3,500 yards in unideal circumstances last year. You know, that's when I think it's not fair. Have I seen any indication that he can't make the same throws that Tyson Bagent did but better yesterday? Of course. I think his passes wouldn't have been deflected as much mm-hmm. as they were in yesterday's mm-hmm. game. I think he can force the same ball into double coverage. I've seen him throw a hell of a fade mm-hmm. to players in the end zone, just like Case Keenum did.
Yeah.
So I wasn't concerned about a drill like that necessarily.
No, and I like Marshall brought up too, that's really not even the point of those drills. It's rapid fire. Like, can you, and like, if so, because it's rapid fire, if you have like a 25% hit rate, which I know he didn't in that one, but if you have a 25% hit rate, like, that's good. That's considered good. You know what I mean? Because you're in less than ideal circumstances. It is rapid fire. You aren't getting a good grip on the laces. You aren't being snapped it from your center in the correct way and all that kind of stuff. So I do think that there is, I'm with you, Layla. I think there's an overreaction to every little thing because there are more voices than ever. And everybody is, you know, clicks are a huge part of our industry. And that's what we are measured on so often of the time. And it's how do you get those clicks, I think, that separates certain people from others. But I understand why it happens. And it isn't fair for a lot of these athletes to be put under a microscope for something that doesn't warrant it. Which is why, like, I really appreciate the perspective myself from being with a team. Because it's like, I've seen those drills everywhere I've been. I know, like, just using that as an example, like, there's plenty of other examples of, like, well, I know that this wasn't his doing, and or this wasn't, you know, this was because of this, because that's how this works in the front office. Or, you know, he didn't talk then because it wasn't that he didn't want to talk. It was that somebody else didn't want him to talk within the building. Like, there are calculations and stuff that just, I'm rambling now, but it was, I just think that, like, there are.
It was overblown.
It was overblown, and those things happen because of the oversaturation, and those are the things that are unfair. But I don't think, in general, I think the Chicago beat really does. There's so many people on this beat. I need people to understand that. Like, I've been in giant markets. I've been in LA. I've been in smaller markets too, Tampa, Phoenix. The Chicago beat is huge, and there are so many people on it. And I think that on the whole, they do a really, really good job of trying to, you know, talk about all perspectives and see everything from every side.
No, I agree. I do think that, yeah, you're right. There are certain, if you read the actual story and actually read it, that's a big ask for a lot of people now.
No, they just want to read social media and see little two, three sentences or one liners. It's crazy.
It is crazy.
I think when it comes to Caleb Williams, there's an agreement there. Fans do need him to be good. Like, yeah. you can sense the desperation in the fan base, and I think that
rightfully
is
so.
Lawrence has mentioned this. We've talked about the record under Ben Johnson to start for the Lions. Do they have a 1-6 start in them? I'm still trying to figure that part out of it too.
I wouldn't be surprised because of how tough this schedule is. I mean, that's why I keep kind of preaching the whole patience aspect of all of this, because, and I think the important thing is, I don't think that's indicative of the what the Ben Johnson tenure is going to be like.
No.
But I want us to have patience with this team because they did go through an overhaul both offensively and defensively. Simultaneously to that, they have a really tough start to the season. They have a tough season in general as far as schedule goes. And that is not going to, I just can't imagine it's going to look pretty. Now, I am glad to be wrong. If they go out there, all cylinders are firing. Caleb looks like he has command of the offense immediately. You know, that offensive line really pays off and they're gelling and they're already together. And, you know, the skill players are running the crispest routes you've ever seen and all that kind of stuff. Then I'm happy to be wrong. But all of that has to go right. And that's so hard. Like, you have to have 11 guys on the same page. And like I get too existential about it. But sometimes I think, like, how does any play go right in football when you take into consideration all of the minute things that have to go right in order for a play to be successful? And it's wild to me because you know, like, every, like, receiver's route, the timing has to be right. The steps have to be right. He has to be in the correct position on the field. The quarterback has to have his eyes trained on, you know, his reads. He has to get through his reads at the right time. The offensive line has to have the internal clock of the quarterback and the play and knowing exactly how much time that they have to protect in order to get that ball out when it needs to go out. And like the running back has to pass protect. The tight ends have to figure out if they're attaching or if they're releasing or what, like, all of this stuff is wild to me that, like, that's why I love football so much. I'm getting, like, giddy because it's such an insane, chaotic sport that it's like an orderly chaos. And I want people to understand how difficult it is to have everything go right. And so that when you do have these offensive overhauls, the scheme comes in, new coaches come in, you have this really complex scheme that you're trying to install with a young quarterback, it's probably not going to go right in the beginning, but that's not indicative of where it's going to go.
4 weeks from tonight, you can stop your giddiness and just explode because it's going to be Vikings.
I know.
4 weeks.
What a first test.
Monday Night Football, that's crazy.
All of that. Like, after how long we had to wait for an actual division game last year?
Yes. Yeah. That is the part, right? It's like, oh, we're not doing that again. We
got
do something.
Division guys back to back.
Yes, very different. Is there a chance Jordan Jefferson's not ready for week
Justin?
One?
Justin, yeah.
Justin Jefferson, yes.
I would be surprised if he's not. I think that, like, they are very, very conservative with him in the preseason because, like, why? You know what Justin Jefferson can do. And basically, you know that JJ is counting on him to be down there somewhere because every quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings has been able to just say internally, F it, JJ's down there somewhere, and he usually comes down with it. So I think that they are just being, you know, he's had hamstring issues in the past. He's had soft tissue issues in the past. So it's just being super conservative. I don't see a reason why he wouldn't be out there week one. But, you know, stranger things have happened. I don't know if he suffers a setback or something like that. I just think they're being very conservative with him right now.
I just hope I can draft him in fantasy. That's what I would like to
do. I mean, you can draft him.
What, he probably is going to go number one or number two. It's rough.
Carmen, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Anything, really quickly, I know we're up against the week, but anything we just need to be looking for that's on your mind this week?
Oh, gosh. No, I mean, I'm very interested to see then, you know, how they handle Caleb Williams in the second preseason game and how much he plays and if he's going to play the second and the third or just the third or just the second. It's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, I agree. I just wanted to make sure. I don't know if there's some NFL team that's doing something right now that you might say, look for this.
No, the Packers are Matthew Golden might be the truth.
And that's a hell of a draft pick, even for being a first rounder.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's the first time they've done it since 2005, 1995.
Yeah, it's not, well, 2005 was Aaron Rodgers. So
yeah, so it was way before that. Yeah. It must have been 1995. Woo. It's been a long time.
That is Carmen Vitale. You can catch her work on Fox and also, of course, well, foxsports.com and also, of course, on Marquee Sports Network. And we want to do a giveaway, guys. Caller 6, let's do it. Score contest line 312-540-0670, 312-540-0670. We'll win a pair of general admission tickets to see Blink-182, Weird Al, Alkaline Trio, Rilo Kiley, The Pogues, and more at Riot Fest on Friday, September 19th. We have more coming up on Raheem and Harris. You're listening on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.